The confrontation with North Korea comes at the same time the U.S. is adjusting its tactics in Iraq. A U.S. military spokesman called the security situation disheartening and said the U.S. would adjust its approach in Baghdad.
Here's one assessment of the sectarian violence that's dividing Iraq. A report from the Brookings Institution suggests just how dramatically that violence is altering the landscape. It finds that in some areas, the sectarian cleansing is complete. Whoever's in the minority in a particular neighborhood, Sunni or Shia, has been driven away or killed. Mixed neighborhoods in some areas are not mixed anymore. Victor Tanner is co-author of that study, and he joins us in our studios. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
I wonder if we can begin with an anecdote. Is there one story that illustrates the level of assault on people for being one religious faith or the other, one sect or the other?
Certainly. There's one anecdote that was actually told to me by my co-author, who's an Iraqi in Baghdad. And he was telling of a friend of his who was abducted a few days ago. And his friend's wife, while he was abducted, received a phone call by people identifying themselves as calling from the office of Muqtada Sadr.
Who's a Shiite militia leader and religious
exactly.
leader.
And asking, can you confirm that your husband is Shia? And the wife, terrified, said, yes, absolutely, he's Shia. And then they hung up. And this was terrifying because previously another acquaintance of my colleague had been abducted, and his wife or his family had received a similar call and had said that his family, that he was indeed Shia, and he had been found the next day tortured to death. Fortunately, in this case, my colleague's friend was released the next day against payment of a ransom.
You get this phone call. Your loved one is in custody of some group. They ask, is your loved one Sunni or Shia? You don't really know which group is holding them, and so you just have to pick one, and you've got a 50-50 chance of killing your own relative.
It's worse than that. The group that calls you identifies himself as one of the sectarian groups. So then you have to make a split-second decision. Do you believe them? Do you not?
Now, how has that altered neighborhood by neighborhood, a city like Baghdad, which used to have a lot of mixed neighborhoods?
Certainly. I mean, Baghdad is Iraq in miniature. Baghdad has every group, every community of Iraq represented. And so, like all great cities of the world, it is, it was mixed, and it is no longer mixed. Increasingly, areas that were either Shia or Sunni dominated have been completely cleansed of the other group, if you will. And mixed neighborhoods have come under particular attention from the armed groups to try and assert their domination in that neighborhood or part of that neighborhood.
Our correspondent Ann Garrels, who spent a lot of time in Iraq, has reported recently on the booming real estate industry as people are forced desperately to try to sell their homes and move somewhere else. Are people changing their names as well as their residences?
You know, people are changing their names. People are changing their identity cards or carrying a couple of them. People are changing the ringtones on their cell phones. We heard of people in Sunni areas loading Shia religious songs as ringtones for their cell phone to try and protect themselves when they were in Shia areas.
I'm wondering about the economic effect. I'm thinking about a map of Iraq. And let's say that there was a truckload of goods that needed to go from Jordan across the desert. It would go through Sunni-dominated areas in western Iraq.
Yes.
And let's say it went through some of the patchwork of different Sunni and Shia neighborhoods in Baghdad and was supposed to end up in Karbala, which is a Shiite-dominated town. Mm-hmm. Who's going to drive that truck? Will it get there?
Certainly not the same person. I think that from what we've been told, goods change trucks, and certainly trucks change drivers as they pass from one territory to another, and particularly as they approach Baghdad. The western part of the country, the western approaches of Baghdad are Sunni-dominated. As soon as you start passing the river into more Shia-dominated areas, basically you're passing a border. You're passing a front line. And there either your truck has to change or your driver has to change, probably both.
How do you avoid getting killed at that point?
Well, I think that, you know, there are economic interests at play. Where there's money to be made, people find a way.
Mm. At the beginning of this process, it was pointed out that there were an awful lot of families who intermarried between mm-hmm. Sunni and Shias. What's happening to those families now?
I think it's very hard for them right now. And my colleague and friend, a person whom I wrote this report with, is from one denomination or one group, one community, and he married a young lady from the other group. She's no longer in the country. He is. But he cannot visit her family. They cannot visit him. He cannot even go and check on them.
You mentioned your colleague and friend and co-author. What can you tell us about this colleague, and how did this person gather the information that you now have?
Well, I normally conduct my research myself or with colleagues on the ground. Obviously, I cannot travel to Iraq. So the idea came up of doing remote research. I found a colleague and a friend, someone whom I trust, who went around the country talking to people. However, it's a measure of how bad things are in Iraq that he himself could not cover the whole country. So he himself had to subcontract some of the research to people and friends of his and colleagues of his, some of whom I know from previous experiences, who were in other parts of the country that he could not go to.
For his security, we're not saying his name. We're not even saying which sect he belongs
That's
to.
That's correct.
But whichever one it is, he couldn't go to the other.
He couldn't go to the other.
And so what did he do? Make a phone call? Send an email?
He organized research by email and by phone with people he knew on the other side. There also, this research was conducted in May and June. And at that time, there were still places where people of different backgrounds could meet in Baghdad. That's becoming increasingly difficult.
It's gotten measurably worse just since June?
Certainly. I think that's, yes.
And as bad as it is, could it get worse?
I think it could get worse, you know, and there's always a danger in saying, how could it get worse? Things do get worse when one thinks they cannot.
Victor Tanner is co-author of a report for the Brookings Institution on sectarian violence in Iraq. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you, too.
Victor Tanner discusses how young people have become involved in Iraq's sectarian violence at npr.org. And you can also find a link there to his recent report.